the first chassidus in the parsha here of this chapter. The idea of these is basically just to take an idea in chassidus, see how it relates to the parsha, and then quote a couple more sources which relate to the idea. Ultimately, with the goal of better having a better understanding of ourselves and a better understanding of our avodas Hashem, based on the unique chassidus perspective. So today we're going to be looking at a source or two from a couple sources from Breslov, one source from Chabad, and we'll see how things go from there. Feel free to I'll do the reading and translating, but feel free to chime in if you want to, or it could be a monologue, one way or the other. So the first source, the Kutei Mara and Aleph Kofes Test, this is from Rabbi Nachman of Breslov. See, it's part of a much longer piece talking about lots of other things, but he gets up to Nasa V'Nishma. So Nasa V'Nishma is what it said it's mentioned at the end of this week's parsha, Parsha of Mishpatim, that Hashem asked the Jews, "Do you want to accept the Torah?" And they say, "Nasa V'Nishma, we will do and we will hear." So everybody makes a big deal of the fact that they say Nasa, we will perform the mitzvos before they actually hear or understand the mitzvos, before the Nishma. So Rabbi Nachman is like a different twist on what Nasa V'Nishma means. He says, "Ki nasa v'nishma hu b'chinas nistaros v'niglos." The word nasa v'nishma relates to the hidden things and the revealed things. What does this mean? So he explains, "Nasa hu b'chinas niglos." We will do refers to the revealed things. What's revealed? Hanu ha-mitzvos. Those are the commandments. We will do meaning we will perform the commandments. She'afsha the kolaka the kayim the fi madrigaso. Every single person could fulfill the commandments based on their own level. There's a mitzvah. You have to do X, Y, and Z. You should daven. You should take lulav. Take your dalamina on sukkos. Whatever it is, everybody's able to do it, and you should do it. Yeah, Beth.
Sorry. So do you mean that you can do it on, like, everybody does it differently on their own level, or everybody can do it no matter what level they're on?
So we're gonna. It probably means both. But everybody's doing the same action. Everybody's doing that same action with different spiritual levels.
Okay.
Sorry. As we're going to see immediately, for nishma, what does it mean, nishma? We will hear. Hibachinas nistaros. Nishma means the parts of the mitzvos which are hidden from us. Mashu gavoa v'nistar mimenu. What's higher than the individual person? What's hidden from the individual person? She'inu yako la'asos avoda bazeh, which you can't actually incorporate currently into your service. So nasa means the ability to do the mitzvah, to daven, to learn Torah, do whatever it is. Nishma refers to things which are beyond, which you can only hear about, which you can't actually currently do. Then he gives an example. He says he connects this to the way the psukim, way mitzvos are narrated in the Torah. You have the mitzvah. You have Hashem telling you you should do X, Y, and Z. And then before the actual content of the mitzvah, there's always like Vaydaber Hashem Moshe Leimar. Hashem spoke to Moshe. So that's part of the passage in the Torah that relates to the mitzvah. But it can't actually be performed. There's no like action involved in that pasuk. So those types of introductory psukim, which are part of the passages where the mitzvahs are introduced, but don't actually require us to do anything, those are connected to the nishma, the things which we just hear about but don't actually do. This is going to be a little bit mysterious. It's going to be further explained by one of his students, and then we'll get to a very important point in Chassidus. So skip down to the next underlying part. He connects these two things, nasa v'nishma, our performance mitzvos, and things which we can't yet perform, with two other parts of Judaism, Torah and Tefillah, learning Torah and davening. It says, nasa hu b'chinas Torah. Nasa, we will perform, refers to the Torah. Hainu ha-niglos, the real things. Masha yodei l'kayim, things which we could do. V'nishma, but nishma, things which we're only hearing about, histaros, these are hidden things. Bechinas diburei Torah, things that the Torah's speech, shehem hadiburim shal Torah, shesvivos kol mitzvah, shehem bechinas nistar kanal. These parts of the Torah's portion, which are parts of the passage in the Torah, which don't actually command us to do anything. She'inu yodea eich lavod baza Hashem yisparach. These things, when the Torah says, Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, and then introduces the mitzvah, we don't know what the lesson from Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Leimar, Hashem spoke to Moshe, actually is. And this is Bechinas Tefillah. This is connected to Tefillah, to things, to not performing mitzvahs, but davening. Right? Here's some sources. Yes. Pleasure. Shehid Veikos, Kishmiya V'tayliva. We're on the last line of the first source. Tefillah, hidden things, equals davening, which equals cleaving to God. because the Gemara says that Shmiya, here understanding is connected with your heart, and the heart is connected with davening. So Rabbi Nachman of Breslov always does this. He always finds the word associations between different concepts, and he connects things based on these word associations. So that, just following the associations that he has nishma, things which are not doing but we're hearing, connected to things which are hidden, connected to tefillah, to davening, connected to wave, connected to the heart. So those are the associations Rabbi Nachman of Breslov is drawing for us. So very frequently, Rabbi Nachman of Breslov is more of an esoteric writer. It's hard to understand what he's talking about. So source number two is from one of his students. Likutei Halachos is from Rabbi Nassan of Breslov. It's very, sometimes it's hard to know the difference between them, because both their names start with a nun. But Rabbi Nassan of Breslov was Rabbi Nachman's scribe and also main student. He sort of took over the Chassidus after Rabbi Nachman passed away. So he's going to explain to us what exactly Rabbi Nachman is referring to. What does it mean that nishma, we will hear, is connected to hidden things, to davening, to dveikos, to the heart? So Rabbi Nassan, in the second piece, is coming off of a medrash. The medrash says the following. The medrash says that on Rosh Hashanah, Hashem is judging the Jewish people, and Hashem is judging the entire world in terms of whether or not the people were good or bad. Generally speaking, people are bad. This is what this particular measure says. So Hashem wants two witnesses to testify that people are bad. So Hashem calls on the sun. The sun testifies that the Jews violated the Torah. But the Torah says, in a court, you can't rely on a single witness, you need two witnesses. So who's the second witness going to be after the sun? The moon. They try to find the moon to testify in court, they can't find the moon. So there's only one witness testifying that the Jews were bad people. Hashem says, only one witness, we have to throw the case out of court, and the Jews are going to have a good year. That's what the Medrash says. So in the Chassidus, we're going to have to try to figure out what the sun and the moon refer to. What does it mean that they can't find the moon to testify that the Jews are doing averos, that the Jews aren't acting properly? So Rabbi Nassan of Breslov connects this Medrash with the theme of his Rebbe, Nasa Benishma. So let's go through it, and we'll see what he's talking about. It says Nimsa Sheikar Hanishma Bechinas Dveikos Vitol Vratzon Vukulei. That okay, let's start after that sentence. V'alkein Eina Satan Yakol Lachavi Rak Eid Akad. The Satan was trying to prosecute the Jews. Can only find a single witness that Jews are acting improperly. Shuachama, which is the sun. Bechinas Torah. The sun in Chassidus represents the Torah. Something which is clear. Something just out in the open. Something which is nasa. Something which everybody could attain. The sun is testifying that the Jews violated Nasa. The Jews did not do mitzvahs. And therefore the Jews are bad people, they deserve a bad year. Because the crown that the Jews got when they said Nasa, we will perform the mitzvahs, is lost to the Jewish people, because they didn't perform the mitzvahs. But you can't rely on a single witness. Try to bring the moon, and the moon is hidden. What does the moon represent? The hidden part, the nishma, the davening. What part of a Buddha's Hashem, or part of our, what part of our service of God is represented by something which is hidden, something which gets expressed in davening, something which can't testify against the Jews? Kikesar ha-nishma, going on in the piece, nishar li Israel, this crown which the Jews got when they said nishma, we will hear, as always remains with the Jews, machmas shirat sonam v'chisufam, because their ratzon, their desire, their yearning is something which can't be nullified. Because there's this constant undercurrent of desire, of religious aspirations in the Jewish people. We'll get back to that pasuk if there's more time at the end. Because the desire, the will, is infinite. The alkane enu yachol dimso asalavana, kimiskasi is mode. But that's what. Why can't they find the moon to testify that the Jews violated the precepts of Nasa and Ishma? Because the moon, which represents the hidden part of the Jew, which represents the tefillah, which represents the hidden desires of the Jew, that's something which you can't actually find. Sometimes you can't find it, given expression on the outside. Something which is deep down. And also, not only is it hidden, it's always going to remain positive. No matter how much people violate the Nasa, no matter how much people don't perform the mitzvos, the nishma part, the hidden part, the part which gets expressed during davening, the inner ratzon, is always there. Ki pnimius haratzon hatov, shekol akon yisrael Nela Miakol Me'od. Was this inner desire of Jews to connect to God is something which is hidden from everybody but constantly there? And that's why the moon, which represents in Nishma, the hidden part, couldn't testify against the Jews. So that's why the shir is entitled Nasa V'Nishma, Hashivas HaRatzon, the importance of Ratzon, that what this medrash is articulating according to the Breslov tradition is that, yeah, people might do a lot of avirus, people may not act properly, but you can never have a full testimony against the Jewish people, because in the inside, the inner Ratzon, the inner desire is always going to be for the good. Which sort of shifts around how you're supposed to relate to people who are violating halakha, who aren't keeping things. Instead of saying, look, you're in violation, you're a bad person, it's, you're really a good person deep down, how do we bring that part out? I want to show one more source for this idea of ratzon, the inner desire as expressed in Chassidus. It's a little bit in a Chassidus terminology, but hopefully will be clear. Source number three is from Likutei Torah, Parshas Balak. Likutei Torah is from Nachna Breslov v'Chabad. This is from the first of Babbage Rebbe, Rav Shneur Zalman of the Adi. So Chabad, you guys know what Chabad stands for? Exactly. Chokhmah Bina Das. So there, in Chassidus and Kabbalah, there are 10 spheros. There are 10 means through which God relates to the world, which represent 10 different faculties of the human being. So Chokhmah Bina Das are the intellectual faculties. Chokhmah is like the first flash of intuition. Bina is working things through, and Das is connecting those things with the actual world, with the world of action, the world of emotions. But this is what is explained in Tanya. But above Chokhmah Bina and Das, first you have the actional level, then you have the emotional level, then you have the intellectual level. And Chabad very much focuses on the intellectual level, and Chachma Bina and Das. But even above all that, or beyond all that, there's something which is more sensual to a person. It's so sensual, it's so deep down, that doesn't even get it. You can't even be defined as a sphere. You can't even be defined as a human faculty. And that thing, which is beyond Chachma Bina and Das, is called Ratzo. It's called desire. Because who makes you think what you want to think about? Chachmah means a first flash of inspiration. But where does that first flash of inspiration come from? So it comes from someplace else. It comes from something deep down about the person, which Chassidus calls keser or ratzon. So let's just see how the Baal Tanya, the Likutei Torah, expresses this idea. It says, V'hinei, zui amida binonis, zev zeh shoftan. So if anybody here is familiar with the first part of Tanya, he talks about different types of people. A Beinoni, which is your average person, is somebody who is Zevezeh Shoftan, meaning this and this person, this and this force, are both vying for control of the person. Your Yetzer Tov, your good inclination, wants control over you, and your Yetzer Hara also wants control over you. So you're in a constant battle between the Yetzer Tov and Yetzer Hara. Ulaom Milom Yamatz, and there are two kingdoms, the good kingdom and the bad kingdom, are fighting over the control of the human being. Kishazak comes and Ophel. And when one side rises, the other side falls. Right, so you have this inner battle. So the Alter Rebbe says, that which I described in Tanya, about this inner battle inside of a person, is only true on up to a certain level. If you're looking at a person's actions, emotions, and cognitive faculties, there's always going to be battles between good and bad. Ach'ava shepnimes halev, but the love for God, which is in the inner part of the heart, shelamala miyatam v'das, which is above these rational faculties, rak ba milamala b'fchinas matana, in inazel umazek kinegda. There's nothing negative once you get that far down. When you once you get to the level of ratzon, there's nothing negative about the person. Shelchinas pinimis, this inner part of a person, nekudas halev, this inner part of a heart, hibchinas yichida. Yechida is the way Chassidus refers to the deepest part of the soul. She'ein la el ratzon echa nevi'a shevashamayim. It's that keyword ratzon again. And deep, deep down, all this person wants to do is connect to God. V'lamala v'hi hamala v'hamadriga she'ein dugmasa. And there's nothing like it. Lo be'erka nimsa b'gash b'esklav rakla shanavada nimsa b'nei israel ankur. Great. And he goes on to develop this idea, a little bit more. That Chassidus spends a lot of time describing the faculties of a person, how in terms of each faculty you're able to serve God. But basically what we're saying is that as you get further and deeper and deeper down into what makes a person, into the person's soul, the deepest level is ratzon, one of the deepest levels is Ratzon, it's your inner will, and that inner will is constantly trying to connect to God. It might be manifest, might not be manifest, but either way, it's always going to be there. And this perspective really creates a different perspective on what a human being is all about, and how to educate, and how to think about yourself. Just to give one example, source number five. So are you guys familiar with the Tzaddik of Yavneel? Interesting guy. So you guys are familiar with those little like Breslov pamphlets you see around sometimes, like be happy, don't be sad. So there was this person. His name was Rabbi Eliezer Sheck. He was born in America. He grew up non Breslov, non Hasidish. He got smicha from Moshe Feinstein. He was like a regular Jewish guy, who somehow or other in his 20s got involved in Breslov, and then he became like the most prolific Breslov author in the history of Breslov Hasidus. He wrote books, he wrote letters, he wrote pamphlets. There was a community that basically got built up around him. Yavneel is a Breslov community in the Galil. Why did they settle Yavneel? Because when Rabbi Nachman was traveling through Israel once, he pointed to a hill and said, "I think that would be a nice place to live." So of course, when Breslov people moved to Israel, they decided to live on that hill. Whatever it is. Anyway, I think Yavneel is one of the poorest places in Israel, but everybody's super happy there. So everybody's great. So he was known as the Tzaddik of Yavneel. He was the leader of that community. And he was the one responsible for the first of those pamphlets, both in English and in Hebrew, in terms of like proliferating Breslov Chassidus. So he also had an online question and answer session. So different people were able to shoot him emails, and he would respond. So this, he died, I think, 2 years ago. So this question, source number five, is from Tashin Ayin Beis, which I think is 4 years ago. That's 2012, probably. So here it goes. You can just see this idea played out in action. Shalom l'kvod Admor. Great. Greetings person. This person is asking Tzaddik Yavneel, I have many desires to do good things in Avodas Hashem, to do mitzvahs. Avod l'maisa, but practically, ani lo asa kimaklom. I don't do anything. I have like a rock on my back. It doesn't allow me to get up in the morning. And I'm walking around without doing anything, without action. Do you have any advice to actually start my life in Avodas Hashem? So there are probably, this was over an email, so he didn't know the guy, so it's probably hard to give like a very specific advice. But you can imagine there are many different avenues for somebody who asked that question to respond in. The Tzaddik of Yavneel, who's very, very steeped in Breslov Chassidus, he like throws out all these sources about, as long as you have a ratzon for Avodas Hashem, as long as you really, really want to serve God, it matters much less if you're actually doing it or not. Eventually, the actions will come. But what you have to focus on now is constantly think about the fact that the first half of your question, you want to serve God, that is the most important thing in the world, because that means that not only deep down is there a hidden desire to serve God, but you're actually articulating that in your mind. That means this ratzon, this desire, which is there in every person, is being articulated in your mind. So great, that is the most important stage. The stage of action will come afterwards. But in terms of the ikar, the main part of Avodas Hashem, serving God, you are there. Let's just read it inside. It's a fascinating answer. So here's the answer. He says, Atat Tzarach Ladas, you have to know. Asher Eitzah Rabbeinu Zal, by our master, by our teacher, by Rabbi Nachman, Haratzonos Vakisufin Ola Alakol. The fact that you desire to serve God is the most important thing. Kamosh Arab Firish, like Rabbi Nachman said explicitly, Sikol Saran Simen Nanav. My yish la'adam ba'olam hazeh, b'zeh olam. What does a person have in this world? Rak dirtzos over dirtzos b'chuli b'chuli. Just to want. And in that piece, Rabbi Nachman talks about also wanting to want. So let's say I think it's called tier two thinking, that you know you should want something, so you try to convince yourself that that's actually what you want to do. So Rabbi Nachman says that's also a very important stage. As long as you, in some level of your desire, you are desiring to get close to God, that itself is the most important part of your Avodas Hashem. Everything else will flow. Maybe today, maybe tomorrow, maybe sometime afterwards. But you already have the foundational point. Kirvatzon Ola Alako, because desiring to serve God is the most important thing. Moranatzal Herich Ma'od, and Rabbi Nasa wrote about this at great length. Kia Ikar Hu Aratzon. The main part of a person is a person's desires. Adam Lahargios Atzmo Liksov Lishtoke Uluskagea Bechol Ace Lashem Yisbarach, L'Torasa U'Mitzvosa. A person should try to develop this desire to come close to Hashem. So you already have a different thing. The fact that this desire exists deep down in every person, that's stage one. And stage two is the fact that we should all be trying, according to this approach, to have this manifest in our thoughts, to actually actively be thinking about it, not just leave it deep down. And even if it just manifests in our thoughts, but it doesn't actually play out into reality. Let's say you wake up in the morning and say, I really want to daven with a lot of Kabbalah. I want to have a meaningful davening today. And if it doesn't happen, so you might think, so basically it was worthless, it was a failed attempt. From the Breslov approach, from the Chassidish approach, no. The very fact you took that hidden inner rutzo, which wasn't articulated at all, and you articulated that in your mind, that stage is the most important stage. You failed in terms of the actual davening, you didn't have a meaningful experience, great, not so great, whatever it is, those experiences will come. But you have to realize that first stage is the most important stage within the Breslov world. He goes on to say what does Hashem want in this world other than our ritzonos. Our actions matter much less. What really matters is what defines us as people, and what defines us as people is what we desire. We're going to see eventually. Hopefully, we'll get to a more Chabad approach. With the Chabad approach, the actual actions matter much more. But within the Breslov approach, this idea of ratzon, of the nishma, of things we can't actually do, but we're davening for, which are get articulated in what we desire, that itself is what defines a person and becomes the most important thing. Just to make this idea a little bit more practical, I want to bring an idea from Rav Kook, source number 6, Shmonek Vatzim, Gimon and Aleph, where Rav Kook is clearly coming from this Chassidish tradition about ratzon. And we'll end with this. This idea is already found in the writings of Rabbi Nachman, but Rav Kook takes it to the next stage. Rav Kook starts off his piece as follows. He says, "Snu hiya asvus." Being sad is disgusting, is hated. Why? Not because there's a mitzvah to be happy. Because being sad means you have a fundamental misunderstanding about the nature of the world. Why do you have a fundamental misunderstanding about the nature of the world? Rav Kook says, why are people sad? He says, let me preface it. Why are people sad? People are often sad because they don't succeed in terms of the metrics they set for themselves. They look at other people, they look at themselves, they want to do a certain thing, they want to accomplish a certain thing, they want to get a certain grade in a test, they want to have a certain type of experience, they want to look a certain way, they want to do a certain thing. They don't measure up to that expectation, and then they get sad. One reason why people are sad. So Rav Kook said, why are you defining success in terms of achievements, in terms of the grade you got in a test, in terms of your external accomplishments? The main part of a person is not their accomplishments, not their achievements, but the basic part of a person is the ratzon. And ratzon, our desires, are constantly within our control. We have the ability to work on our ratzonos, to work on our desires, and to change that, to reveal them within the context of our own minds and our own life. And the fact that the most important part of us is completely in our own hands, taking place within our own psyche, is something which should bring us tremendous simcha, which should bring us tremendous joy. Because the key to life, the most important thing in life, the most meaningful thing in life, isn't based on external achievements. It's based on how much we care about God and about things which God cares about. Let's just read it inside. It says, Hagidia, the fact that a person, when he's revealed as somebody who has a ratzon, somebody who has desires, a person's personality is completely enveloped in the single point of the ratzon, of the person's will. So everything else flows from this point. When the most important part of life is completely within your hands to achieve. It's there already. It just has to be brought out, and that should bring us tremendous joy. If you're sad because it didn't accomplish, that means it might be good to be sad you didn't accomplish. But it means if you get overly sad that you didn't accomplish, it means you're putting the emphasis too much on external things, unless in this internal rasa. So the critique is that this idea can be dangerous because ultimately there's a large part of Judaism. It's about achieving. It's about achieving success. It's about making a difference in the world and practically making a difference in our own lives, making a difference in the lives of other people. And this idea has to be balanced by that pole in Judaism also. But at least within the Breslov tradition, and for Rav Kook also, and just in terms of giving ourselves chizuk and encouragement, and in terms of understanding the importance of our own aspirations, our own desires, even if they don't get manifest practically, I think within the Breslov tradition, there's definitely a place to say that, yeah, that I didn't do it, I failed ultimately. The very fact that I wanted to do it and I tried, the ultimate failure is much less important than that initial first stage. That's why I think, especially also at the beginning of a semester, when like people often give themselves goals in terms of schoolwork or an extra schoolwork or general service of God or things of that sort, it's an important thing to keep in mind. The very fact that those goals are being set in a person's mind, even if their goals are being set semester after semester, and even if ultimately we don't always achieve them, I never actually reached the level, whatever goal I set for myself at the beginning of semesters, both in terms of schoolwork and in terms of other things in life. Because usually we always want more than we can actually accomplish. But when I found this idea, you know, it gives you a certain level of satisfaction. Even just the fact you cared enough to articulate the goals to yourself within the confines of your own mind is something which is extremely important for yourself and extremely important for God. So thank you for letting me monologue. Thank you for coming. And hopefully we'll continue this week after week in terms of each idea, each week a different idea of in Chassidus coming off of the parsha.